The book of Psalms, Psalm number 3. As you're finding your place, would you, in honor of the Word of God, stand to your feet this morning? If you're not able, please remain seated. We understand, but for those of us that can, let's honor the Word of God as we read it together this morning. Psalm chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this passage that we've read. Father, help us to hear what you have for us individually this morning. Speak to our hearts. Help us to have yielded hearts and yielded ears, minds, and hearts ready to receive what you have for us by using our pastor this morning to preach to us. Anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power, I ask, as he comes. And Father, if there's somebody here in this room this morning or on the internet that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they'd settle it today. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I ask you that you keep your Bibles open this morning here in the third Psalm. I hope you know and remember or realize that you read from Israel's hymn book this morning. All of the Psalms can be put to meter and rhyme can be sung. One of these days, I want to hear them sing the 119th Psalm. All 176 verses. I imagine what that song would sound like. But they could all be. Look at me, folks. Look at me. I wish somehow or another, if you don't already have this, that you would get a good relationship with this book of Psalms. I read some of Proverbs every day, and I read some of Psalms every day of my life. Right now, in my own personal reading, I'm in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. It's amazing how many times I read the same psalm for 7 days and then go to the next psalm. It takes several years to go through the book of Psalms. But I like to take one psalm and just spend about 7 days and just read it once, but go through it. So much of the book of Psalms will help you in so many ways in life. Proverbs will instruct you. Psalms will encourage you, strengthen you, and help you. In Psalm chapter 3, David is king of Israel, but he's running from his son Absalom. For 40 years, Absalom prepared a rebellion to take his father's throne, but not just to supplant him as the king. Absalom's desire was to kill his father so he could take his throne away from him. David ran from Jerusalem to spare a slaughter in the streets among the people. And now here's David. If you know the story of David in the Bible, you know he had to run from the wrong crowd a few times. The king before him wanted his death, and David spent more than a few days sleeping in the fields and the caves of Israel. Now he's an old man. He's in his 70s. Now David is running from his own son who wants his death, his throne, out of pure hatred and jealousy. But to spare the people, David runs, and now he's on the run. As you know, in David's life, when he was given a psalm to write in particular, he did not write all of the psalms. Solomon wrote some of them. Moses wrote some of them. But this one in particular is David talking about, verse number 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are there be that rise up against me. Listen, the very people David had served and helped and wanted him to be king, when Solomon stepped up and said, I'll take over, they immediately turned and said, okay, you're our king now. So he not only has his own son come after him to kill him, the people that were with him, with the exception of a band of men that went with David, those people turned in an instant, just like that, and said, okay, you're the king, then Absalom's the king today. It's no doubt that David is discouraged. There's no doubt that David is somewhat disillusioned. In the Psalm chapter 3, there's the word repeated three times I want to talk to you about this morning. We did the study in our Psalm study several years ago in our church. And the word I want you to notice at the end of verse 2 and verse 4 and verse 8 is the word Selah. Now remember, this is a psalm that could be put to music and sung. The word Selah in the Bible is a musical expression that has three different meanings to it. And those three meanings today, in the midst of this psalm of discouragement and defeat, will help us today to understand how God wants us to handle some things in our life when we're up against it. The word Selah. Now, I won't impress you with my musical knowledge, but we'll give it a try to help you to understand this. Someone has once said, obstacles are either hindrances or opportunities in your life. Difficulties are either opportunities to show something that God could do in your life and through your life, or they're defeating principles, depending on how you want to take it. Ladies and gentlemen, this word Selah from Psalm chapter 3 this morning, there are three of them. They fit, to be honest with you, they fit in perfect context of what David is talking about here in his difficulty and in his trouble. The word Selah, first of all, means, in a musical sense, it means to take it up a note or take it up a level. Did I say that right, Ms. Evans? Close. I can only get close. I can't even play the radio, folks, so I'm not musically inclined, okay? It means to take it up a note or take it up a level in the music. So here's David. He's up against it in his life, facing opposition, trouble, difficulty, people turning against him. And he says here, oh, how many are they that have troubled me? Look at verse 1 again, please. How many are they that have troubled me? How are they increased? Many of their eyes up against me. Verse 2, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. David says, let's take this thing up a note now. Let's raise it up a note. You know, often in his life, David knew times of being overwhelmed and troubled and difficulties of his life. And here David is simply saying, let's not let it get it down. Let's raise it up. Let's not be defeated. Let's raise it up. Let's not stand back and say we can't do it. People say there's no hope for you in God. David says, no, you're not going to tell me that. I'm going to Selah this thing. I'm going to take it up a note. I'm going to take it up a level. I'm going to raise up on this thing. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's what that means for you and for me today. David said, you know what? I'm going to encourage myself in this thing. I'm going to encourage myself in God. You'll notice no one's there to help David, Selah. He has to do this by himself. Do you not encourage yourself? There's a lot of ways to do it. Most of them are wrong. Some people encourage themselves by buying something. Shop till you drop, spend to the end, buy till you die. I just need to go shopping. Now, first of all, let me explain something to you. The difference between men and women is men buy, women shop. You understand that? Women understand the principle of going to a mall and blowing 2.5 hours and coming out with an 82-cent candle. They understand the concept. A man understands, give me 30 seconds, I'll have what I want in here and I'll be out of here in no time. Men buy, women shop. Good? And if you guys like to shop, will you see me after church? We have a doctor. He needs to do a hormone check on you because you got serious problems because you like to shop. We like to buy. Buy's good. Shop's bad. For men. Now, for ladies, perfect. That way we can watch more football. So here's the thing. The idea is people think, you know, I'm going to encourage myself. I'll just go out and buy something. Well, then you know what happens after that. Debt follows and there's more discouragement. Not good. Number two thing it encourages people, they try anyway, is eat something. Now, for a lot of years of my life, I have followed that principle. Not good. Not good. Especially depending on what time of night it is. Have you noticed when you get the munchies for something late at night and you eat something light like a chili dog or something right before you go to bed? Doesn't it though? Chili dog. baptized in chili, because we're Baptists. We believe in full immersion. Baptized in that chili with cheese and sour cream on top of that. And if you really want to go around the track, bro, you put some onions on top of that and some jalapenos. You eat that at 10 o'clock at night, you'll go to bed in Redding and wake up in Red Bluff. You will. And you won't even know how you got there. Nope. Let's see. Buy, eat. This was not politically correct, but I always include it. Kill something. Okay, we'll leave that one alone. Number four. I'm sorry, but for some people, shooting an innocent doe-eyed creature, watch it roll over while it kicks its back legs with blood bubbles coming out of its nose. There's something encouraging about a certain segment of our society that enjoys that, okay? And I'm one of them. Okay, here's the thing. So, that's not necessarily good. Because if anybody's a hunter knows, and once he's on the ground, the fun's over. Yeah. And the last thing to do to encourage yourself, which is not good, is change something. Well, I'll move. I'll go live somewhere else. I'll do this. I'll go. And they make changes in their life. And almost always, it's an impulse instead of made by prayer and thought and consideration. You get yourself in trouble with the change principle. Here's the way you see la when you're up against something. Here's how you take it up a notch. Here's how you encourage yourself. David did it in the book of Samuel when he was living among the Philistines and he went out to fight with them against his own people. And they said no. And they sent him back to his city of Ziklag. And back in that city of Ziklag, while David was away, another invading army came in, burned the city to the ground, took off all of his people, and he and his army came back to a burnt city with no families. While they're standing there in the ashes trying to figure out what to do in their grief, the Bible said his good buddies who stood with him spake of stoning him to death. And then the Bible makes this statement. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. See, folks, look at me. You want to know how to encourage yourself? If you can't get encouraged in God, who you are, what you are with God, what God means to you, nothing's going to encourage you right. All the other stuff we talked about, that's all temporary. You're encouraged for a while, but then it passes. And then more discouraged. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God, standing in the ashes of Ziklag with everything burnt around him and no hope and his own good soldiers. Now speaking of stoning him to death, he's got his family's gone. This guy's up against it again. And yet the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Can you do that? Do you have something in God that's you and him? That's you and the Lord? Of course, that would be your salvation, number one. You know Christ is your personal Savior. You've received him. That way it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit living inside of your body. And you have eternal life. You have forgiveness. You have a home in heaven. You have God as your heavenly Father and Jesus as your elder brother. You say, oh yeah, I got all that. Oh, if that doesn't encourage you, my friend, a brand new car would not encourage you. A nice meal would not encourage you. Killing something would be fun, but it would not be encouraging to you for very long. The truth of the matter is, dear people, you could pick up, move from this town to the other side of this world, and you're going to take you with you, and that's the problem. Unless you learn to encourage yourself in God. The songs we sang today, as we sang them, I thought, man, that fits perfectly with what the message is about today. It is well with my soul. Brother Allen's singing, he's been faithful. Doesn't that encourage you how faithful God is? Well, people sure not. Oh, yeah, that's your problem. You're seeing what people are not instead of what God is. You're seeing what isn't in your life instead of seeing what God is in your life. You're seeing what you don't have instead of seeing what you do have in God. Now, do you have that? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior this morning? Are you sure you have eternal life and a home in heaven? And your sin's been wiped clean. You've been justified in the sight of God. My friend, if that can't bless you, you got a busted blesser. Take it up a notch. We can either sit around with our hands down. The Bible talks about hanging hands, hanging down in the feeble knees, and go the woe is me and get out the violin and start playing all our sorrows and sadnesses. And we all have them this morning, don't we? We all got our reasons for trouble and difficulties, don't we? Hey, look at me. We all brought life to church with us today, didn't we? And when we walk out of this building, it's out there in the parking lot waiting on you, isn't it? So that doesn't encourage me, Pastor Johnson. I'll encourage you with this statement. April 15th is coming. How does that bless you? We were singing it as well with my soul. You know what I was thinking? I had a physical this week. Full physical. what you call the whole enchilada. Doesn't that sound good? The whole enchilada. No, I had a physical this week. You ever sit there and have them take your blood pressure and your heart's racing? Because you're thinking, uh-oh, judgment day. 64-year-old, 30-some pounds overweight, more than that, but none of your business. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, oh, brother, they're going to check my blood pressure this morning. You know what it was, Brother Evans? It was, yeah. You know what it was, my red-faced friend? You know what it was? I was 122 over 83.
That's a high-low number. No, that's high-low. 80 or below.
64 years old, 122 over 83 is in perfectly good range. My cholesterol was fine. It was about 450. It was perfect, right where it's supposed to be. I'm literally turning into a solid right in front of you. No, cholesterol was good. Blood pressure was good. Hey, I got the doctor's here that did it. He's in the next room. Come tonight, I'll have him give a report. I passed my physical with flying colors. 64-year-old, I'm not on any kind of medication. I smoke pot, but I'm on any kind of medication. I don't do that, nor the whiskey thing I said earlier. The truth of the matter is, I sang that this morning saying, you know, it is well with my soul this morning. Now I got to go back to him next year. I'm sorry that you got to find some comedian to make you laugh to find happiness. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that something better has to happen to you to make your life better rather than what you have as a child of God. And if you want me to go ahead and get really corny, let me get really corny for you. You live in America. Yeah, boy, that went over good. Sound like you must live in communist Russia. I said you live in America. That's right, friend. You live on the greatest nation on the planet, on this earth today. You do that. Not perfect, but I'll take America over anything I've seen. I've been all kinds of places in this world. Hey, you and I are a blessed people in our lives today. Now, I don't know how you do it, my friend, but I count my blessings, name them one by one, and it doesn't surprise me what the Lord has done because I keep it in front of me. Raise it up a notch. We're not supposed to walk around going, I don't know what my life was supposed to be, what I'm supposed to do. Really? Now, you've been there. I've been there. We've all been in those places before where it's like a dark hole and you just keep falling. It's like a whirlpool that keeps pulling you down. We've all been in those places before. Getting there is one thing. Staying there is wrong. Because what we've not learned to do yet is how to selah, how to raise this thing up a note, take it up a level, how to let God's hand and help and blessing and mercy and grace and goodness, His word, His promises, His truths, what you are as a child of God, if that can't lift you, nothing can lift you. David said, they tell me I have no hope in God. Then he says, I'm going to selah. I'm going to raise it up a level. Verse number 4, selah again. Now listen. Here, selah here means, the second meaning for selah is this. It means, listen, in musically speaking, it means a pause, a rest, or a stop. A pause, a rest, or a stop. When you're going through something in life, my friend, do you understand the principle? Listen here. Do you understand the principle of pause? Now, we've got to do everything right now, this minute, this very second. We've got to get it all taken care of. Some of you folks, I don't even know why you drink coffee. You make coffee nervous. You're so wound up. And you put coffee with a power drink, and frankly, you're probably illegal. Something's not right with you. You couldn't pass a drug test if you had to. And you can't take it. You know, the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, when we're up against something in our lives, we need to learn to pause. That means, listen, that means wait and give God some time to work on you. And the situation. No, we got to fix everything. We got to do everything. Now, I appreciate the ambition. I appreciate the forthrightness. That's a big word, isn't it? I appreciate the fact that you're not willing to just sit around and go, well, whatever, yo, Adrian. I mean, I appreciate you got a little more on the ball than that one. I appreciate that very much. But ladies and gentlemen, there comes a time when you need to be still and know that He is God. Let Him just reach down and get a hold of your heart. Do you ever pause? Right in the middle of a sorrow, a heartbreak, a trouble, a difficulty, do you ever just pause and say, Dear God, dear Heavenly Father, I just need you today. We're quick to ask for what we want, and that's fine. You have not because you ask not. But when was the last time you said, God, I need a lot of stuff, but right now, frankly, I just need you to just help me today. Pause. Well, I don't have time to do that. Yeah, that's your problem. You want to run like a chicken with their head cut off. You want to go full speed like you're on IV hookup to a monster drink. And then you wonder why God can't get a hold of you. He can find you, but he just can't get you to sit still long enough for him to do something in your life. Selah, pause. Selah, rest. You know what that means? That means trust. We sing it. If we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will. Was it go, church? Yeah, trust and obey. Hey, you got to trust to do what he tells you to do, but you got to trust. And that's a rest thing. That's where you step back and say, now, dear God, I know I'm not sure how this could all turn out. Don't even understand it all myself. But frankly, dear Lord, I'm going to rest in you today. You see that a lot in the book of Psalms. A lot about resting in God. Confidence, that means you put yourself in his hands. You're going to rest in the Lord. You're going to trust him so much that you actually believe, though you can't see it, God can. And though you don't know, God knows. It'll be okay. You rest. And then number three, Selah here means stop. See, if you're doing something you're not supposed to do, stop what you're doing. Got it? Stop. No, we want to go on and do wrong and expect God to jump on the wrong side of our lives and help us do right. No, you got to stop the wrong. You got to stop it. Hey, you got to stop doing this. You got to stop it. You got to realize that at this moment in my life, if I really want the Lord to help me, I've got to realize he is a holy and righteous, pure God, and I cannot embrace sin and embrace God. I cannot do that. I have to understand if there's something in my life that's not right, you got to stop it. You got to put a stop to it. It's got to stop. We want the repair while we do what we want. God doesn't work like that. God, it wants to help you, but you've got to put a stop to things. Things that are not right. No, you don't stop going to church. You don't stop reading your Bible. You don't stop doing what the Bible tells you to do, but you need to stop what's wrong. It's fascinating how easily people will throw church over their shoulder, throw God over their shoulder, throw the Bible over their shoulder, and then go on and just hang on to sin and wrong and keep going and wonder why it's just not working out. Man, use your head. A woodpecker does. Figure it out. You got to stop what's wrong. You got to stop it. You've got to stop long enough to let God get a hold of you in your life. So with my schedule, Pastor Johnson, that's just not possible. No, I didn't say you had to rush off and go live in a cave somewhere. But it's fascinating how we seem to, look here, how we're so stressed out, but we seem to get to what we want to do. Huh? I mean, We'll still get in the average amount of television. We'll still get in dinner. We'll still go. I've seen people who just, they couldn't hardly make it, but they're at the mall. And I think, okay, wait a minute. Amazing healing, that four-letter word, M-A-L-L. Amazing how healing that word is. Can't get up and do much of nothing. But all of a sudden, boom, where are they? You find them all over town. I think to myself, wait a minute, this was a person that was hurting so bad, couldn't do something so bad, but they could still get where they wanted to go. They could still, hey, you got to stop that. Look at me, you got to stop that. You got to bring that thing up to the level of, I'm not going to do that anymore. Whatever it is I'm supposed to do, I'll keep the energy for that. And if it's something I'm not supposed to, I'm going to stop that. That went over like a ham sandwich at a Jewish picnic. Okay, good. But the truth is, hey now, that's good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. That's good stuff. You know that? That's Selah. Oh, pause. Give him time. He hath made everything, Ecclesiastes 3, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Rest in the Lord and stop whatever it is it shouldn't be. Third thing is verse number 8. And this musical expression, Selah, means you take it up a level, take it up a note. It means to pause, to rest, to stop. And number three, Selah means this. It means retune your instrument and get ready to play again. Now, it always amazes me how that Mrs. Evans will tell us the piano's out of tune. Now, I can't tell. You can't either. I can't tell. But she can tell. Do you know how? Because the trained ear knows when the notes are not right, when the music's not right. Trained ear can tell that. Now, you tune an instrument like this either by ear, which they don't do anymore. Now it's all electronics. Used to be the old days you used a tuning fork. Boing. Hit the note, bing, bing, bing. Work on the strings or the instruments. See, I told you I'm not musical. The wires, whatever you want to call it. Now they have electronic stuff, and they play, and then it reads back to them on this electronic device and that kind of thing. They tune it. But see, listen to me. You tune something to get it right by what sounds the way it's supposed to. You either do that by experience or you do it by other means. But to tune something right, it means it has to be out of tune and you know it. And two, you tune it in accordance with what is right. Retune your instrument. You know, there's some things I just need to get right about my thinking when I'm up against it. First of all, I'm going to stop questioning God about things. Hey, listen, it's okay to ask God a question. It's wrong to demand an answer. And number two, it's wrong to not accept the answer he gives you. That's when you really get up against it. Well, I didn't accept that. Now you're in big trouble. When I'm up against it, sometimes I have to retune my thinking. Well, God, don't you understand what I'm doing down here? Look at me. You mean I actually got to think that God forgot where I was? Don't you know I'm down here? Hey, don't you care? What a great thing to throw in the face of an almighty, loving, patient, caring Heavenly Father who never slumbers nor sleeps, who knows everything about me. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. That's either encouraging or discouraging, depending on your lifestyle. But if it's right, then you don't ever need to retune. You've got to retune your thinking. I just don't think God cares anymore. Think about that statement for a moment. Think about that. I've watched couples and they argue with each other and they'll fuss with one another and the one of them will look at the other one and go, I just don't think you care about me any longer. How that ought to just cut to the heart and say, wait a minute, something is definitely not right here. You need to retune your instrument. Not according to how it sounds to you, but according to the way it should be. In accordance with what is right. God is always right. Doesn't always look like that, but he's always right. I just got to tune my instrument to God is always right. Yeah, but see, Pastor, no. You need to retune your instrument. God is always right. And then it means also get ready to play again. Some of you, you've done what the psalmist said over in Psalm 130s where it said, you hung your harp in the trees, the willow trees, and you don't sing the songs of Zion anymore. You put your instrument down. You give up on him and give up on what's right. You just decided that's it. I'm done. You need to get your harp out of the tree. And get ready, my friend. God wants to do something in your life. Are you willing to let him do that? Hey, are you willing to let God put some music back in your heart and life again? Where the psalmist said he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. Lifted me up out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings and then put a new song in my mouth and many shall hear it and fear God and shall praise him. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Oh, get ready for him. You get tuned up with God. You get in tune with him. Guess what? You'll play that instrument again. Things will be right. It'll all come together. God will use you. He'll do something in your life. Are you willing today? Are you willing to understand that you need to let God do a work in your life this morning? Because, friend, I guarantee you there's a lot of noise out there in this world, but the sweet song of God. We were in the subway in New York City on a trip once. Obviously, if you've ever been in a subway before, it stinks, it's smelly, noise like you cannot believe. And then, of course, New York City, millions of people milling all over the place, just carrying on. And you get in there, and for us who live in a place like Reading, we're not used to the din and the roar of a major city like that. We're in the subway, walking, getting on the thing to go somewhere, and all of a sudden, you hear the sweet strain of a violin being played. And even amidst the din and the roar of a New York subway, there's a young man or a young lady standing there playing the violin. and just playing something so beautiful. And the beauty of a well-tuned instrument in the midst of the din stood out so clearly. Voices, people talking, yelling, carrying on, yeah. But all of a sudden you hear the sweet song of a well-tuned instrument. That's what you and I need to be in this world today. There's a roar going on out there, ladies and gentlemen. A roar of noise coming from this world. And God's people need to be a well-tuned instrument, ready to do something that God can do in your life and through your life. Are you willing to selah, retune your instrument, and let God work in your life so you can play again? Selah. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.